Welcome to the Savvy Spiritual Growth Podcast, where it's all about enhancing your spiritual life with host Suzanne Thibault, founder of the Padisma Advanced Healing Systems, intuition expert, and animal communicator. Listen to visionary spiritual leaders and learn their tips for living a divinely inspired life. And now, your host, Suzanne Thibault.
This is episode one of Savvy Spiritual Growth. The three biggest obstacles to spiritual growth. Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Suzanne Thibault, and I'm so glad you're here with us today. We have a super special guest with us. I'd like to introduce Linda Mercer. She is the founder and CEO of the Mira Linda Center for Wellbeing, LLC, in Phoenix, Arizona, where she has hosted retreats sponsored by the University of Arizona's Medical School, featuring best-selling authors in mind, body, soul medicine. She is also the author of Rebuild Your Immune System in 10 Minutes a Day, and that's a fantastic book. I've read it. And she was previously the wellness expert at Marriott's Premier Spa at the Camelback Inn in Scottsdale, Arizona. She's also a licensed psychotherapist in private practice for over 20 years. I welcome you for being here, Linda. I'm so grateful for you to be here for this kickoff episode of Savvy Spiritual Growth. Welcome.
Thank you, Suzanne. I am so happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. Well, I know today we're going to talk about the three biggest obstacles to spiritual growth. And maybe you can start us off by sharing a little bit about your own spiritual journey and what kind of obstacles you overcame.
Sure. Well, I didn't really get on the spiritual path seriously until I was in my mid-30s, and I had been raised as in a Christian family. But between college and my mid-30s, I was just really pretty disconnected from my spirituality. And then I had a serious health crisis, and I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis and told that there was nothing that they could do to help me except give me medications that were, at the time, all they had was steroids and antidepressants, and that I would most likely, most surely become increasingly disabled, and they even added that the average lifespan was 20 years. So it was really... Right. It was a really devastating experience and terrifying. And as a result of that, I had this very powerful spiritual experience that really brought me back to my spiritual path, onto this new spiritual path, you know, in a different way than I had been before. Mm-hmm. And so from that time on until now, forever, I've been on a serious spiritual path. And a few years after that, I went into psychotherapy. I was going through another bit of rough time. And so I went into psychotherapy for a couple of years and actually ended up going back to school and becoming a licensed psychotherapist myself as a result of that. Because it was so helpful for me on my spiritual path to, first of all, heal my body and really get really healthy. When I overcame, I was able to reverse the multiple sclerosis within a year. And then to work with my mental emotional aspect. And the therapist that I had was a spiritual teacher. So she really guided me for the next few years to continue on this spiritual path. And I did what I think, you know, most spiritual seekers, once you kind of get on the path, wherever you get on it, usually you're sort of catapulted there from some experience.
Yes, that's true.
and then we just start exploring, you know, and I just started doing, you know, meditating and practicing yoga and working with my chakras and Working with prayer beads, I went to ashrams, I went to monasteries, I studied comparative religions, and just, you know, created an altar in my home and did 12-step work and just, you know, continued to seek this spiritual wisdom and spiritual centering and, you know, this kind of homecoming.
Yes. It sounds like that truly was a really deep answer for you, because you went from not being on your spiritual path to this health crisis, to overcoming the health crisis, to, yes, I would like some more spirituality, please.
Yes.
Yeah, that's powerful.
Yes, thank you for the acknowledgement. It is, and it was powerful for me, and it's, I think there's nothing more powerful than spiritual experiences. Mm-hmm. And so I continued like that, and of course all of it was added to my growth. It helped me. I loved it. I changed tremendously for the better. And my life became richer. My life became more centered, more balanced, more peaceful, happier. I became, you know, professionally more advanced. And yet after about, you know, 20 plus years, I started having this feeling of that I was missing something, that why had I not been able to achieve like enlightenment or self-realization. And I started to say, well, you know, if after doing all of this spiritual seeking and all this spiritual work and working on myself and working on my, you know, to improve myself and elevate myself, you know, why haven't I been able to get rid of some of my bad traits and
right.
some of my personal defects and my personality defects or my faults, what I considered at the time to be all these traits and characteristics that were bad, that I considered bad.
Was there one that you recognized that was causing an obstacle for your spiritual growth?
Oh, several.
Several. Yeah. <That's true.
laughs> I had a list.
Okay. Well, what's the number one obstacle you felt you were facing at that time?
Well, you know, I think I would have to say that, let's see, it depends on which time it was, but at that time, you know how have you ever worked with the chakras?
Uh-huh.
Or in psychotherapy, as a psychotherapist, we work with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and they're very similar. They're almost exactly parallel.
Wow.
So you look and you know that you're trying to heal the first chakra, let's say, or the first level of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and it's about safety and security. Mm-hmm. And I realized that there was still part of me that didn't feel safe, for example, just didn't feel safe and secure. So I would work on that. But I think the core one for me for a long, long time was the feeling of not having self-esteem. So it was that third chakra, and it's the third level of Maslow's hierarchy as well. It was just, I didn't feel the worthiness. I didn't feel that I was good enough. I still felt like I had issues about shame and guilt. I felt like a fraud or an imposter, because here I was, this, you know, very devoted spiritual seeker and teacher, plus a psychotherapist for all those years, and I still felt like a fraud and imposter because I had not worked through all of my issues, all of these different levels.
Right.
I think those are the main ones. It was really my sense of, I hadn't reached the level of self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's also a feeling of being complete. You know, when you're at peace and you feel totally authentic. I think it was this part of me that just didn't feel authentic. Like I wasn't even sure who I was after all that seeking and searching.
Oh, okay.
I just wasn't quite sure There was something missing about who I was. I was, you know, I mean, I'd done a lot of work. I am
right.
And I, you know, and identified so many of my positive qualities and et cetera. But there was a part of me that just wasn't sure exactly who my true self was.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that actually is really has to do with the shadow work. And because the parts of me that I had chosen to disown, you know, mm-hmm. Which are these shadow parts or the pieces of your soul that you sort of lose them, or you disown them, you give them away. Well, there's many ways to get to lose them, lose that integrity of your soul. Was really the core of that lack of feeling whole, completely whole and complete and authentic and true, like my true self, my true soul, and knowing exactly who I was and feeling 100% confident in that.
And so, is that what feeling wholeness is, what you just described? Is that how you feel whole when you have all those pieces together?
That is how I feel whole. And I, in the work I've done subsequently, what I find is that wholeness is really comes from, you know, Debbie Ford says in her book, she says the shadow holds the essence of who we are. It holds our most precious gifts, but it's the essence of who we are is in our shadow. So if we have cut those parts off or disowned them or gotten rid of them, which I think that's one of the biggest problems is that they're so deeply, that we bury them so deep that we truly don't see them when we just project them out into the world. We see them in other people. We project them onto others or onto the world and, you know, or feel like a victim, or we don't see, we can see everyone else's faults, right? So that's how even in psychotherapy, they say we have our blind spots, our personal blind spots.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has them. And so it really, that's what's going on there as well. So how I, so what happened then was about, it did lead to a lot of, frustration for me and sort of lack of fulfillment. Like I wasn't feeling like I just was feeling like I couldn't get where I was going and that I just would never be whole and I would never be completely healed at all these levels that I, you know, wanted to have all my chakras 100% balanced.
Right.
And just not, you know, have full self-esteem, full confidence, no shame, no guilt, no fraud, feelings of fraud or anything like that. So I still was hanging on to that idea and it just led to that, you know, consistently bumping up against the wall of lack of feeling, you know, whole or complete or I guess enlightened was the word. And I think spiritual seekers, oftentimes what I found through my clients and even colleagues or friends that are on the spiritual path is that we feel like since we're spiritual seekers that we really need to be perfect, you know.
Right.
That we need to just have it all figured out or else we feel like there's something wrong with us. And that becomes an issue and that becomes a huge block to our spiritual growth. So what happened was that about 5 years ago, I was going through a really, really difficult time in my marriage, in my career. Everything was just really difficult for me at that time. It was a really difficult and dark time. And I was trying to understand what was going on. And usually I can, you know, I have really strong intuition now and I pray and I meditate and I can usually get, you know, the information. I feel like we have all the answers inside of us. And I usually can find my way and get that through journaling or whatever, but sometimes I can't and I don't. And when I really have tried and I can't get it, I use a divination tool. That's one of the other things I use. So I've been using for some years now, a divination tool called the runes. And It's amazing. I use that very rarely, only for very, very big issues, mm-hmm. so that I don't become reliant, so I don't look outside myself for all the answers, so I don't
right.
think everybody else has the answers and not me.
Are runes similar to other spiritual tools like oracle cards?
Yes.
Where you ask a question and they can give you an answer?
Yes.
Exactly. Okay.
Like the I Ching or et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So I did the runes and I, you know, what's going, what, and just, you don't ask it a yes or no answer, but you know, what was really going on? And I just will read just a couple of little lines from this very long, like 3 or 4 page readout that I did from the runes. But it basically said, your old way of being has come to an end. You cannot repeat the old and not suffer. And that this represents obstacles that are self-inflicted and some outside ones. But that the goal was to identify my shadow, my dark repressed side, where growth has become stunted, resulting in weaknesses often projected onto others. And it went on saying, you know, basically it even gave me a warning. It said, you know, the death of the way of being the way you are now is no longer valid. And this is a warning that the failure to face up consciously to that death will constitute a huge loss of opportunity. So,
wow, that is really deep. Holy
it couldn't have been more clear and fair and more powerful.
Yeah.
And and there was much more to it, but basically, I think you get the idea. I felt immediately, I knew this was different than any reading I'd ever had. And it was more powerful. And I was both afraid that I wouldn't be able to, you know, figure it out, but I was, and also very excited. So I went to sleep that night, and in the morning I started thinking, well, you know, I studied Carl Jung in my psychotherapy studies, and he talked about the shadow, and I'm going to start looking into that. And I did for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remembered also that I had heard about this woman named Debbie Ford, who worked with Deepak Chopra in his center for years. She's now since passed on, sadly. She was very young, 54. And she got cancer and passed on, but a few years ago, actually. But she had written these books, a couple of books on the shadow, on healing your shadow. So I got on, you know, went to Amazon and looked those up and ordered those, and I began the work. And after that, so much growth has happened for me. I finished this book I'd been working on for 10 years. I finished it in 8 weeks with a coach.
Wow.
The first draft, of course, the first draft. And then it took me still a couple more years to actually get it all published and out into the world. It finally launched out into the world. But that would happen. And I was, I had closed my psychotherapy practice. I was done 20 some years, and I always wanted to just work in wellness and well-being. Started my wellness center again, and an online wellness business, and and started speaking again. And that you know, I felt like I had been hiding, and hiding, but part of me was playing small and not really going after my big dream. And anyway, this, you know, it's not an overnight experience. Like, that's just not, doesn't work that way. But it is, from that day forward, I have never felt like I could not find my wholeness. And
that's beautiful. You did that reading with the runes, and you heeded the message, and you made the choice to start working with your shadow, and now you can see the results of that one choice and how it has totally shifted your life. It's absolutely amazing. And that truly is what spiritual growth is about, isn't it? Making the choice to do the inside work.
It is, Suzanne. It is. It really is about choosing. It's about, I always say too, you know, it's about being willing. Willing to do the work. Using your will to align it with God's will or spirits or the divine, you know. Mm-hmm. And really, that's, how, you know, to make those choices when we remember who we really are, it's easier. It is having that willingness to make a choice, to make the right choices, and then making the choice and taking the action. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Not just thinking about it or talking about it or letting fear, you know, keep us from taking action.
Yeah. Fear, that's a big one for everybody, isn't it? Yeah. Pesky little fears get in the way of us moving forward. But if we're willing to look, if we're willing to look inside and see what's going on, we can move past it.
Yes.
So you are truly an inspiration. Did you discover then other obstacles to your growth? Or do you feel like now you're really, well, I think you wanted to talk about shame.
Well, shame and perfectionism, they really work very hand in hand. So our perfectionism really comes, well, shame, let's just talk about shame. You know, one of the first books I ever read on my spiritual path, actually doing with the psychotherapy I was doing in my own personal growth, were the John Bradshaw books. And life-changing, very, very life-changing. I grew up in a wonderful home in so many ways, so, you know, so privileged in many ways and many opportunities, but it was also an alcoholic home. And John Bradshaw is an alcoholic, and he was raised in an alcoholic home, and he wrote these wonderful books, the first one called The Family, and the second one called Healing the Shame That Binds You. And that all addictions, which if you look around the world anymore, even I was just with my grandchildren up in Oregon, as you know, last week, and you look at kids and they're so addicted to the technology.
Yes.
You know, so addiction is very pervasive, and we all have it. It's like not looking at ourselves. It's really not tuning in and being present with ourselves, or
it's distractions. It's looking at distractions. Oh, I better check my cell phone. Oh, let's look at this TV show. All just different types of distractions that prevent you in a way from doing the inner work.
Yes, 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 absolutely. And so, well, I think it's, you know, that kind of ties in now. I could just talk a little bit too about what is the shadow? You know, what is the shadow? Because I mean, it might be a good idea just to, and it will lead into the shame and the perfection.
Okay.
But our shadow, because I heard about the shadow and I knew that it was, you know, something to do with our, you know, the parts we didn't like. And that's basically what it is. So the parts you don't want to look at, they're the parts of ourselves that we feel embarrassed by, or ashamed of, or can't identify with, even. Like we have rejected them. We've either rejected, and at the deepest level, we deny them. So everybody does deny some things. And sometimes, you know, it's just a survival mechanism. It's a defense mechanism. So mm-hmm. You deny it. So when it's denied, a part of us is actually denied, and we project it onto other people or the world, then we're really out of touch with that one. And we can't, the thing about, they say, you know, everything that you suppress actually suppresses its opposite too. And I think that's a very...
That's a good one.
Very cool. Yeah. And for me, like, you know, in my family, it was always like being a hard worker, you know, and don't be lazy. So if you think that you're lazy because, you know, that was a word that was used, it actually, and you suppress that, and even if you become like sort of a workaholic, you actually diminish your ability to be really productive and get things done, you know, to reach.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So So the suppression of this is you know, the other thing that happens when we suppress the shadow parts of us, the parts that we don't like or that we feel ashamed of and embarrassed, then it can never heal.
Right.
That's the part where we keep feeling, why am I not healed? Why can't I heal this? Because we're only working with part of ourselves. So our soul is whole and it has integrity. So the integrity of the soul is paramount to our happiness, really, our sense of wholeness and happiness and completion. Until we bring up those pieces and bring them out to get healed and own them, take ownership, like, oh, that's a piece. But it's not just about owning it. It's what I really love about shadow work is that it teaches you just from very quickly, you start to understand that there is no shame, really. There is no shame. You can have some guilt. See, guilt means I did something that I feel bad about. So, you know, you can hurt someone's feelings unnecessarily and feel guilty about that, or steal something and think, mm-hmm, I should have taken that. And that's appropriate. But shame is the feeling that I am bad at my core. You know, there's this,
right,
there was something wrong with me. And that, so this addiction, coming back to the addiction, is really wherever there's addiction, there's shame. Okay, so we all have shame. So everyone has levels of shame, and how we get shamed, and how we start disowning our shadow parts. Back to that, is that, you know, from the time we're born, we're not born with shame, but we start to get messages from our parents, from our grandparents, from our teachers, from society, from peers, whatever, that embarrass, they don't approve, some part of us is not approved of or liked or accepted.
Yes.
So to be accepted and to be loved and to feel good and to belong, we give up that part of ourselves. And that's how, so every time that you do that, you're losing a piece of your soul, is how they explain it. Like shamanism explains it like that.
Yeah. You're sort of becoming fragmented.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, right. So you go from wholeness to fragmentation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so the shame is that feeling that we get as a child, because you're just a child, you don't have an adult mind, and you feel like there's something really wrong with you. There's something, this is a defect. That's why we call them our bad parts, our defects.
Mm-hmm.
And we have shame about them. And so we then start seeking perfectionism, you know, until I don't have any of those bad things. And, you know, I need to be perfect without any of those flaws or defects that I feel.
So in effect, when we disown those parts of our shadow, such as shame, and then think we have to be perfect, is that sort of a coping? Well, I have that, I feel like I have that negative part of me I don't want to show, so I'll be perfect and then it won't show.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And that actually starts creating, so the other piece of this is the third aspect, is that then you really are not your true self. You create a false self.
Mm.
So you're not your true self and you're not authentic anymore. You start losing your authenticity. And because you're not being your true self, you create a false self,
mm-hmm,
to survive, to fit in, to be accepted. And then we know that, our soul knows it, and we go, you know, so we're moving through life with this fragmented self and this, false self, And there's no way that we're going to feel whole with that. So the perfection, so that's, I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that spiritual seekers, myself definitely included in the biggest blocks and obstacles, is that we think that we have to be perfect or almost perfect, or not have, you know, get rid of, heal all of our wounds and not have any of these defects and not have any flaws. And, you know, if we have any resentment or judgment, we think, oh, that's bad. I'm still bad. I still haven't healed that, right? Or, mm-hmm. or we have problems with relationships, let's say. Now, after I did my shadow work, started doing the shadow work, my marriage became amazing.
Oh, awesome.
And it improves your relationships. So it's because I always said this, I was a couples therapist for 15 years. And I said that your relationship with everyone else is based on your relationship with yourself.
Yes, definitely. That's beautiful.
And you know, it said, right, that's one of the things that it said, oh, in the rune reading, here's what it said: write your relationship to yourself. Rectification must come before progress. But I've always said, you know, that your relationship with yourself, that's why in my book I have a whole chapter on yourself, mm-hmm. is that the relationship with yourself determines all your other relationships. So once I started to really write my relationship with myself, becoming whole and taking back, looking at my shadow parts, not with judgment, not with rejection, not pushing them away, not with disgust or frustration, but with compassion,
mm-hmm.
and acceptance and love, and looking at understanding when we're ready, whenever you're ready, you know, we can go into like a couple of ways that people can work. Your listeners can work with their shadow.
That would be really powerful for people to learn some of your tips on how we all have to work with our shadow. Some of us choose to, some may not, but if you're walking your spiritual path, you do work with your shadow. And if you've got some powerful tips, bring them on. Let's hear them.
All right. So the transformation. What is the transformation? So the shadow work is a wonderful opportunity for true transformation. And on a very deep level and a very profound level. So the transformation. So I've got three tips. Okay. So three tips. So what can you do to connect with, accept, and integrate your shadow or your dark side? And the first one I always say is that, first of all, just know that you're not alone, that everyone has a dark side, and that the dark side is not bad. The dark side is actually where your essence, as I read a little bit earlier on in this.
Mm-hmm.
That the shadow actually holds the essence of who we are. It actually holds our most precious gifts. So that shift, that's a big shift in our, even if you have a little shift in that, like opening to feeling like, oh, my shadow is not bad. The dark side of me is not bad. So I explain it in a couple ways. Like if you think about it, like the symbol of yin and yang. So there's that symbol that's got a curvy line down the middle, and one side is black and one side is white. But mm-hmm. on the black side, there's a little circle of white, and on the white side, there's a little circle of black. Because everything, life is really about duality. So everything has a little of the opposite in it. It needs to have a little of the opposite in it. If we don't have the opposite, if we didn't know fear, we wouldn't know security. If we didn't know fear, we wouldn't know love. If we didn't know hate, we wouldn't know love. You need to have these opposites. We need the darkness to even understand the light.
Yes, to see the light. Yes.
See our light, exactly. So it's a natural, and it's only a problem when we don't see it or be able to understand that it's the opposite. We have to have the darkness. We have to. And that's why when we cut it off and we disown it or we deny it and repress it, then we are losing our integrity and our wholeness. So another helpful visual is that if you think about a holograph, the world is a holograph in the sense that, you know how we're all connected, and that's part of the spiritual growth is to work towards really, really, truly feeling one with all things, one with God, one with the universe, one with all people.
Yes.
And in that wholeness, that we, because we actually are, when you start studying quantum physics or all the different, the Tao, all the different, even religions and how that fits in, we see that really the universe truly is a hologram. So we are all connected. And if you slice off a piece of a hologram, it contains the whole.
That's fascinating.
You know, if you take any piece of a hologram and you project any little piece of it, any tiny, tiny, tiny little piece, it will project the whole. So that is, there are a lot of books that I read, 20 years ago or something, because that interested me then, but it is that every one of us has the whole inside of it. And so we are a microcosm of the macrocosm, so each inside of us. But anyway, so we all possess all the good and all the bad in the universe.
Wow. That's a big load.
It's what we do with those qualities.
Right.
So that's when it becomes what you said, you talked about choice. How do we choose to understand that, accept that, use it, and grow with it.
Mm-hmm.
They always say that there's a silver lining in every dark cloud. I believe that completely.
Yes.
So that was just kind of understanding it, because we start to make friends with it. So we don't see it as something bad and wrong, something we have to get rid of or keep us, hidden away. So whenever we're hiding, we end up hiding ourselves, hiding from the world, hiding our gifts, and not healing. So the second thing is that I think, one of the other exciting things about shadow work is that we are finally free to look at these shortcomings as gifts.
Mm-hmm.
For example, this is the exercise I was going to talk a little bit, but I've already talked about it, I'll just use this example of myself. For example, because I was felt very unseen and unheard in my childhood, I was one of six children, middle child, working parents. I just did not feel seen or heard. I obsessed on myself to keep, because I was my own, I was my nurturer.
Uh-huh.
So that self-absorption and selfishness, I've always judged as bad. And whenever I see that in myself, I've always judged as bad. But actually, I started seeing the gift. So how did that really serve me? It allowed me to be very self-reflective. I can look at my own defects and shortcomings all through this spiritual journey, and that's helped me a lot. It helped me to become a psychotherapist so I could understand human nature, others better, and help, thousands mm-hmm. of people for the past 25 years. It helped me to heal from my MS, so all of these, and I learned how to self-nurture through that, what is a defect if you don't tone it down or we do want to, what they say is just tone it down a little bit. You don't have to get rid of it at all, or just balance it out. So, and we begin by seeing the gift in it, and that is, you're always looking for the gift. So whatever trait or character that you see as a defect, then looking at how it has served you.
Mm-hmm.
What is that gift in that? But yeah. here's an exercise for that. And so you take a piece of paper and you fold it in half, or you just draw a line down the center. Okay. Mm-hmm. And on one side, you write down three people that you admire tremendously, that you love and admire. And then you write down three traits of each person that you admire and love about them. And on the other side of the paper, you write three names of people. They could be from historical or currently or whoever, that you can't stand, hate, repulse you, whatever. Mm-hmm. Right? And you write down three characteristics or traits of each one of those people that you can't stand or hate or reject or whatever. And then you make a list of those nine words on of the two different columns. Mm-hmm. And then really take a look at them, because then we'll see, like, do we have those qualities that we love in someone else? And maybe if there are some that we want to work towards, you know, to become the people to admire in the way that we admire those people. Or how many of those do we actually have ourselves? And that's when you start to see, well, I have a lot of those traits already. And on the other side, that helps you to start to see the shadow parts.
Because the things that you wrote down that you disliked about somebody, or is that might be actually something you dislike about yourself.
Yes, or that you actually do have, even if it's not as to the degree that that person has it, you can also start to sort of identify, like, you know, I do have some of that. I mean, it's mm-hmm. not like they have it, but I do, I could say that I have some of that trait.
Right.
That's what was powerful for me. It was that when I first did that, it was like, oh my gosh, I actually have some level of some of these traits that I really dislike in other people, that I can't see other people.
Well, then it was a healing tool for you too, because it helped you to see that shadowness that you're holding, and then you could work on transforming it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And you know, you can be in the shower, or you can be in the kitchen or mm-hmm. anywhere, or, you know, in the early morning hours when I get a lot of, I call it spiritual downloads, divine downloads.
Yeah.
When all of a sudden I could just, my eyes would just be opened. I would just suddenly see a shadow part of myself, or a trait that I truly had, that I had not owned at all, that I had really even denied and protected mm-hmm. or definitely repressed. And, you know, for some reason once you own it and you feel that sincerity, and then you don't push it away or judge it, and you think, I wonder what that was about. I wonder what the gift in that was. Let me look and see what was the gift. How did that serve me?
Yeah.
And how did that serve me? And then you look at that. That's how what I would do. How did that serve me to survive until now? Because that was the purpose of it.
Right. That's a wonderful tip. Thank you.
No, you're welcome. And the third one is, there's another one you can do, and that is, like, think about the most embarrassing thing about yourself that you would never tell anyone, and no one, but maybe your therapist, but no one else. And that's just a simpler one than doing the longer exercise. It's another good way to just jump in there and start doing some work on this.
Okay. Wonderful.
So I think that was... and then just toning it down. It's a really issue of degrees, mm-hmm. So it's just like, okay, so how can I balance it out a little bit better? But those are some tips of how you can start working, or, you know, just start working with your shadow parts.
Oh, thank you. That's fantastic. All right. Now, I know you've been doing your spiritual work and journey for a long time, and this has resulted in you writing a book, Rebuild Your Immune System in 10 Minutes a Day. Would you like to tell us a little bit about your book?
Yes, I would love to. I wrote this book. It's an 8-week program to rebuild your immune system, but it addresses each week, it addresses a different part of your life. It addresses your diet and nutrition. It addresses your mental, emotional. It addresses your spirituality. It addresses your relationship to yourself. It addresses your relationships with others. Yeah, so each week you're working on something different, and it addresses your movement. And I actually, the sections are called Eat, Think, Pray, Love, and Move. So it really addresses all the different major areas of our life and how to bring those into balance. And I designed it so that you could do, it's a daily program. It's 8 weeks, but it's a daily program. You can, each day, you can do the exercise in that for that day in just 10 minutes. Because in working with people for so many years, a long time ago, I realized that how busy people were, and they would just get so overwhelmed with making changes. Like, where do I start? Do I start, you know, I've got to eat better, I've got to exercise, I have to, you know, reduce my stress, I have to change the way I think and heal my emotions, etc. They get so overwhelmed. So this one just takes you day by day, 10 minutes a day, to really heal. Really, it's going to be your immune system is your greatest, is your defense mechanism in your body. And so there's a huge emotional, spiritual connection to that.
Right. I really love about your book is you're talking about coming into wholeness, and your book helps people to do that in just 10 minutes a day. I have read your book, and I think it's fantastic. My favorite part of your book was the part where you talked about sugar addiction, another addiction, and how you and your tips in that book for how to help people to kick the sugar habit. And so if you, my listeners, are struggling in any way with your health, I do highly recommend this book. It's a complete package to your wellness, not just physical, but also spiritual, mental, body, mind, and soul. It is available on Amazon, Rebuild Your Immune System in 10 Minutes a Day by Linda Mercer. So Linda, where can people learn more about the work that you do?
Well, thank you for all the accolades on the book. And
you're welcome.
People can find out more about my work and read my blog and find out what else I'm up to on my website, which is www.10minutewellness.com. And you can use either the number 10 or just TEN, 10 Minute Wellness. And actually, in about 2 weeks, it will find it just by going to www.lindamercer.com.
Okay.
So either way.
Awesome. So I encourage everyone to check out Linda Mercer, because she is a transformational leader in our spiritual world. I want to thank you so much, Linda, for being here. This fantastic interview, when people listen to it, just listening to your great wisdom is going to help them shift. And so I thank you for your wise words and your inspiration that you're providing. If you would like to check out again Linda's work, you can do that at 10minutewellness.com and her book, Rebuild Your Immune System in 10 Minutes a Day on Amazon. Thank you for being here, and thank you for inspiring us, Linda Mercer.
Thank you so much for having me and allowing me to share my message.
You're welcome.
I enjoyed it. Thanks again.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Savvy Spiritual Growth with Suzanne Thibault. If you enjoyed this episode, tell a friend and share the amazing energy. Be sure to check out the other episodes to ignite your personal and spiritual growth. If you are ready to develop your intuition, talk to your pets and angels, and change your life, get Suzanne's free gift at suzannethibault.net. Also, visit us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Google+. Subscribe to the Savvy Spiritual Growth Podcast on iTunes.